down, gotta levitate. I know my next win is the best one. So I music licensing on reimagined. On to the next one.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for downloading the DynaPros Fantasy Football Podcast, where we talk everything dynasty for fantasy. Week one is done in the books. We just had week two kick off with the Dolphins versus Buffalo last night. And the Tua thing, you know, I'm gonna save that. But the Tua situation, we can't not talk about that. On today's podcast, we are going to be reviewing the top players last week at every position, and talking about if we think they're going to repeat. Are they going to be repeat performers? Obviously, one of those names we're going to have to cross off because they played last night. I apologize for this one coming out so late. Had some technical difficulties. And then we're also going to talk about the great trade debate, as well as what I personally am expecting to see out of week two. What should happen? Do we see the league balance out? This is what happens when a lot of these guys don't play in the preseason. So we're starting to look, when do we start to see that kind of normalization of what we expect? Because Josh Allen putting up 13 fantasy points, not something we expect. So with that being said, let's jump straight into it. Your top scorers in Dynasty by position from week one. Josh Allen came in with a strong 31 points, two rushing touchdowns, two passing touchdowns, followed up by Saquon Barkley. He looked like a beast out there at 33 points. Jaden Reed, our one-hit wonder of the week, had 33 points. Isaiah Likely at 27 points week one. That a lot of people are thinking, is he the new number one? I'll touch on that a little bit later. Chris Boswell came in with 24 points, and then we had the Chicago Bears defense scoring well as well. So a great week one. Do we see these guys bounce back? And do we see a repeat, a follow-up to that? Josh Allen, you know, watching him last night kind of set the example already. Week one was great. Week two, if they went with a hot hand, I'll give them that. I feel like Josh Allen could have repeated, I'll be honest with you. It just, James Cook was on fire last night. Three touchdowns, heck of a performance by James Cook. You can't not go that route. Josh Allen putting up 13 points, it's not regular. It's not something that you'll see week to week to week. James Cook was cooking last night. Miami's defense had no answers for them. They had no answers for them. I don't think I saw them stack the box too much. When they did, James Cook still found ways through. It was very good game last night. Nice job, James Cook. But I feel like if needed, Josh Allen was going to carry that game on his shoulder. I had a bet riding on that game, and unfortunately, James Cook took that bet from me, but it is what it is. Saquon Barkley, is he going to be a repeat? You guys tell me what you think. Philly plays up against the Falcons this week, and the Falcons defense for years has not been something that anybody's really taken seriously at all. They got the new DC back there. They brought Kirk Cousins in to help that offense. We can't judge them based off week one because we all know what Pittsburgh is right now. Pittsburgh is still trying to figure out what their identity is. Forget the identities. They're still trying to figure out what their quarterback situation is right now. Looks like Justin Fields is going to be the starter for another week. But Saquon Barkley, is he going to follow up that 33-point fantasy performance next week? I don't see him getting another 30 points, you know, three TDs. But I think Philly knows how to utilize their running backs, and they're going to know how to utilize Saquon. I think he has another strong performance. Maybe he comes in 17 to 22 points. That's where I'm putting Saquon Barkley. Jaden Reed at 33 points last week. Everybody, you know, and everybody is saying, you know, he was supposed to be, that performance was great. He was going to be the next guy. And then Jordan Love goes down. Luckily, not a long-term injury. Jordan Love, you know, hoping to be back in 4 to 6 weeks. But they're playing up against Anthony Richardson this week. That's a game where Jaden Reed could have had a bounce back, because I see that if Jordan Love was in that game was going to be a shootout. I don't know what the game is going to be right now. It's probably going to be a little more run focused with the quarterback situation there. But Jaden Reed, He's the vote for the one-hit wonder of the week. He will not. Do not start him this week. He is not going to be a go-to at all in that offense. Isaiah Likely. This has been a hot topic. At least, and I don't know who else it may have been a hot topic for, but it's been a hot topic in fantasy circles that I've been around this week. Isaiah Likely, 27-point performance. People are trying to say that he is the new number one tight end. Baltimore put out a statement. I actually think it was one of Lamar Jackson's pressures where he said it. Kansas City, Mark Andrews went out there and did the job he was supposed to do. Kansas City went with a bracket coverage against Mark Andrews. They double-teamed him all game. At some points, they even triple-teamed him. Go look the footage up. Go look up the highlights. You'll see there were minimal, and I repeat, minimal moments where Mark Andrews was not double covered. Go look at the highlights. You'll see there are multiple times during that game where Mark Andrews is double covered, safety over the top corner, linebacker. You got the linebacker hovering in the middle playing midfield. Mark Andrews, the one thing they emphasized in that game, you could see it clear as day. Do not allow Mark Andrews to do anything. That's what translated into Isaiah Likely having such a huge game that he did. Lamar Jackson has built his trust with him, and that made it a lot easier for Lamar to be like, okay, security blanket number one is triple covered. I can't look his way, but they're leaving security blanket number two wide open. Turns into a 27-point fantasy game. But Isaiah Likely, that takes nothing away from him. He is a very skilled player. That back juke that he put on that KC defender right before walking in the end zone looked just like Lamar's highlights in high school. Isaiah Likely, though, I see Mark Andrews with a bounce back this week. If I'm a betting man, which, you know, I'm getting into it, I'd put money on Likely and Andrews getting a touchdown this week. Chris Boswell, keep him in your lineup. I think he's going to be a high scorer all year this year. Pittsburgh does not have an offensive identity yet. And even when they get one, I'm not sure it's going to be high scoring like the rest of the NFL. Pittsburgh's always been prized on their defense. TJ Watt was out there looking like a monster week one. I think Chris Boswell may be the best kicker to play this year in fantasy. You know, he showed it week one, had that 24-point performance. And like I said, Atlanta's defense is not something that a lot of teams are scared of. Pittsburgh's offense just could not move the ball. However, Boswell won that game for him. Boswell won that game hands down. Chicago's defense, they are a defense that everybody knows who they are. Their defense plays well. They're going to be on the field a lot. I don't know if they follow up that performance that they had, you know, last week. They weren't really playing a decent team. I would love to see what they do this week, but I feel like they're just going to be on the field too much. They were playing the Titans week one. Will Levi's still trying to figure out what's going on there. The Tennessee's still trying to figure out their situation. New head coach, new running back. Will Levi's second year in the system. They're still trying to figure out their identity, and the Bears were able to take advantage of a bad situation. They're not doing that week two. I do not have the Bears doing that in week two. The Bears are playing Houston on Monday night. C.J. Stroud, rookie of the year, he is going to come out and remind us all. Week one, he looked a little shaky, trying to knock some of that rust off. Week two, in prime time, he's going to remind us why he was the rookie of the year. He's going to remind everybody why everybody thought Houston was the team to beat heading to the Super Bowl last year before Baltimore put them out. So there you have it. There's the top scorers by position for week one, as well as where I believe they're going to finish for week two. You guys tell me if you feel another way. Let's go ahead and talk about it. I'm pretty confident with where I'm at, though. I want to talk about something, though. So before that game last night, I had a chance to trade Waddle, and it was a pretty good offer. It was on the table. It was Mixon and Bowers for Waddle and Ford. Team that was looking to trade. He's trying to just get into a rebuild. Realistically, wanted Waddle. Wanted to balance out the trade. I was okay with it. And for some reason, the upside of Tua held me from making this trade. And I couldn't do it because Tua led the league in passing yards last year. He led the league week one. I think he had 338 yards passing week one. Waddle had that 61-yard reception. And it looked like Waddle was going to be a much larger part of the offense this year. You still got Tyreek here. He's still the fastest man alive, still Cheetah. But Waddle was definitely going to take a bigger slice in that offense. And then last night happened. I should have accepted that trade. You know, I pondered it for a while. And when the game started, I didn't have a chance to just go ahead and accept it and send it through. I should have taken that trade. My gut was telling me that that was the trade to make. I went against my gut when I should have went with it, and I paid for it. Waddle obviously put up 7 points to no fault of his own. I don't know what was happening last night. Miami's offense looked lost this week. I don't know if the short turnaround had them burned, but they look lost. They were doing a lot of checkdowns, a lot of screens, a lot of runs, which I don't have a problem with the runs. The runs were working, right? And you heard it during the game. Mike McDaniel apparently told Tua he wanted him to get more comfortable and checking the ball down if he has to. Tua looked like Joe Flacco for a good chunk of that game where, okay, you want me to be comfortable with checking the ball down? I'm checking it down every play. And it got to a point where if he had, and I honestly believe maybe it wasn't the game plan, and maybe that wasn't what Tua was doing. I think that pick he threw, that first pick, shook him because he followed it up with another pick. Then the man can't throw the ball out of bounds. The reason I bring this up is the Tua concussion from last night now has, you know, that offense is one of the more high-flying offenses in the league. Those are players, the wide receivers in that offense is wide receivers everybody wants because they're going to put points up. Does Tua try to come back this year from that concussion? I believe it's his third or fourth concussion. I know across the span of 3 years. Last year, he bulked up so he could stay away from it. However, he had those two major concussions in 2022, which sidelined him indefinitely. And the talk around the town is it looks like these are going to sideline him indefinitely. It's at the point now where they're talking about, does he retire from this game? Because, you know, physically, he may not be able to take the kind of hits. I feel like a lot of that has to do with training as well, though. How do you not slide in that spot? How do you dive head first into a guy? I don't know. I'm pretty sure I've heard this. And even if I haven't heard it, it's kind of staple in the NFL where they bring, you know, baseball players in and guys like that to teach some of these more mobile quarterbacks how to slide. Maybe that's got to be the standard across the league because Tua dove headfirst into this guy. He dove headfirst into DeMar. For a guy that's had, you know, as many concussions as Tua had, maybe that was, I don't know if he just didn't know what to do in that situation, if he panicked, but why do that to yourself? And you could tell when that hit happened that he had had the concussion because he almost laid out the same way he did in 2022 when it happened. He hit, his body stiffened, and he dropped. And you could see on that impact that concussion, he's out. I don't mean to jump off topic here, but That Tua thing just kind of caught me off guard. But it got me, you know, it got me thinking. I was talking to a couple buddies of mine. If with the whirlwind around Tua, you don't know if he's coming back this year. You don't know what that situation is. If he gets cleared, do they allow him? You know, if he gets cleared, is he mentally, you know, the doctors can clear him. But is Tua mentally ready to step on that field again? He's had another concussion. It's time to think about family. It was crazy that the head coach of the The head coach of the Vegas Raiders said the same thing. It's time for Tua to retire. That might be the safest thing for him. But with that being said, for fantasy managers, what do we do now with Tyreek and Waddle? The Tua thing on the backside. We don't know if he's going to retire. We don't know if he's coming back. We know right now they've put the indefinite tag on him. Skylar Thompson's the starting quarterback. Do we hold Waddle, hold Tyreek, or do we sell? I still believe in selling, but I know the value for them at this exact moment is extremely down. But if Tua takes that field again and we start to see some offense moving, are you selling Tyree before we're presented with the situation again? Because at this point, both Tyreek and Waddle are in that lineup for a long time. They both got long-term lucrative deals, but Tua is the problem in that offense. Are we waiting for another quarterback to step in? Remember, they committed to Tua, too. So if they go and get another quarterback, they're going to have some money tied up. The talk coming out of the Dolphins camp is that Skylar Thompson's the guy and they're going to go pick up a third-string quarterback to fill the void. We'll see. I'll hold my reservations with Skylar Thompson until he plays next week. He obviously was just thrust into a game. They were getting blown out. They went heavy run formation to just make sure they could survive the rest of the game. So I'll hold my reservations. But even if Skylar Thompson does well, are we selling Tyreek and Waddle? It's a legitimate conversation. Are we selling Tyreek and Waddle? I would love to hear from you guys. What are you doing? Everybody knows the value that both of those guys bring. Tyreek, fastest guy in the league, and he, double digits every week on points and what, definitely a wide receiver one. Waddle was looking like a strong two, but this Tua thing has, if you're in a spot to win a championship this year, what are you doing? I would love to hear what you're doing. Are you just selling him off and whatever happens, happens? If you can get a decent deal for him right now, you're not going to. But if Tua touches that field again and, he resembles week one Tua, he doesn't even have to resemble 2023 Tua. If he resembles week one Tua, throwing 338 yards, and feeding both Reek and Waddle, are we selling him at that point, or are we just going to ride the hot hand and see how it goes? I'm selling him. You can't be on my team. Tua's a liability. Tua turns Waddle into a liability. Tua turns Tyreek into a liability at that point. So, me personally, I say, let him go. You can't keep him. That's just my opinion. You guys let me know what you're feeling. I would love to hear from you guys. I want to jump into it real quick before we wrap up. Week two breakouts. Who do we see making a week two breakout? Well, I'll run down the list real quick. Jordan Mason's going to be I got another breakout for him. Do we see a bounce back from Brandon Ayuk? They're playing the Vikings this week. I don't know. Ayuk's whole contract situation has finally started to rear its ugly head with him not getting time in training camp. We saw it in week one, that drop touchdown in the corner. Brock Purdy, hell of a throw. Hell of a throw. You got to make that catch. This is why you show up to training camp. This is why you show up to OTAs. You did all that. Your contract made no difference. And then you made a fool of yourself during week one. Not a good look. Not a good look. If I'm an NFL owner, I'm glad I didn't pick you up. Just my thoughts on that. Sam Darnold looked good. He kept Justin Jefferson busy. Kept Justin Jefferson valued for fantasy owners. Justin Jefferson averaged 15 points across the league last year. I don't see him getting that this. I don't see Justin getting that this week. 49ers defense. We know what their defense is. They're going to get after the quarterback, and they're going to make it miserable for the Vikings. So we'll see. Seahawks Patriots. We know that Walker is listed as doubtful. I'm going to put my money on him not playing. Go with Charbonnet in that game. But Charbonnet is more of a receiving back. He doesn't really have the stature that Walker has or the big play ability. He's a good back, but he doesn't have that. At least I haven't seen yet. He doesn't have that big play ability. Let's see how he does. I actually think you're primed to see more of a bounce back from the wide receiving core there. I think this is where Jaxon Smith-Njigba gets involved, DK Metcalf gets involved. You start to see some more push on the passing side of the ball here. That's just my belief. New England did a great job against Cincinnati. Again, I don't know if that's a rust situation. Week 2 is going to tell a lot for a lot of teams. I can tell you that. I would love to see New England repeat against Seattle. Seattle, good mid-tier team. If they follow up again, New England's, you know, they got a defense again. Let's see what happens. Giants Commanders, start all your Commanders. Start McLaurin. Start Daniels. Daniels is going to have a field day. I was huge on Jaden Daniels. If I could have gotten him in this draft this year, he was gonna be my starter. I ended up actually lucking out getting Lamar, but I would love to carry those two right now. Jaden Daniels had 30 points last week fantasy, and that was after a terrible start. He turned his legs on and made a big difference. Commanders lost that game, but Jaden Daniels, great fantasy value. This dual threat quarterback thing is gonna take over fantasy, I'm telling you. The other Daniels, however, is going to kill, and I'm telling you this now, he's going to kill Malik Nabers' value. If the Giants don't figure out what they're doing, Malik Nabers is going to be wasted talent for them. Wasted talent. I said this out of the gate. He was a great, great wide receiver. Wrong team. Hopefully he gets a trade or the Giants dump Chase Daniels, or the Giants dump Daniels. I can't play Neighbors. Daniels is a liability. I can't play Neighbors. Jaden Daniels is your breakout star in that game. Chargers, Panthers, start J.K. Dobbins. Start Ladd McConkey. Ladd McConkey had first rookie touchdown last game. I feel like Chargers are going to go run heavy for a while. The Panthers just look god-awful. Bryce Young, there was all the hype in the preseason about him. I don't see it. I don't think anyone saw it in week one. However, the Chargers looked really good. Greg Roman over there knows the run game. I say throw Dobbins in that starting lineup successfully. The Panthers haven't shown that they can stop the run. And if you got McConkey, get him out there because you'll probably see some play-action passes form off of the run game. That's going to be a great game. Saints-Cowboys. I'm going to come back to that one because I have some reservations for that. Colts-Packers, Anthony Richardson. I'm hoping he has a more stable fantasy game. Alec Pierce, I don't trust him. He had three catches. But he had that one huge, 67-yard bomb for a touchdown. That's what really saved his fantasy value. I don't see the Packers giving up a 67-yard bomb. Anthony Richardson's got that arm. But the same problems that plagued him when he came into the NFL are the same ones that I saw last week. The inconsistency. I'd ride the running backs in that game. Ride the running backs. Browns, Jags, start Ford. I say start Ford. I'm not sure about starting the wide receivers in that game yet because Deshaun Watson hasn't shown a single thing, and he's got more legal troubles on the back end. But I say start the running backs in that situation. I see Cleveland trying to bounce back, take control of the game, keep the ball, out of Deshaun Watson's hand for a bit, let him build something up and get things going from there. Jacksonville, though, Tank Bigsby and Etienne. Whew. You know, I don't know what the answer is there. Etienne he's been okay. Bigsby steps on, has a couple good runs, a couple big breakaways. Jacksonville could be staring at a true dual back situation for the first time. Etienne's value may be tanking in that one. Trevor Lawrence is Trevor Lawrence. You know, he was supposed to be that generational quarterback that came out. I don't know what it is in Jacksonville. It's not working. Play Lawrence if you have to, but I think in that one you go with Ford as the hot hand. I see Cleveland trying to get the run established and going from there. Jets Titans look for Aaron Rodgers was just looking to get through game one. That is my belief. He 100% was just looking to get through game one. Game two is where we see that bounce back game. Obviously start Wilson. Also start Lazard. The Titans are good defensively, but I just feel like we'll see Aaron Rodgers come out of his shell a little bit more. I think there was a lot of just knocking the rust off of almost 2 years since playing and making sure he could make it out of that game healthy. And Robert Saleh, and that's what the Jets were, you know, the Jets even showed that look. When the 49ers had that game in hand last week, they pulled Rodgers out of that game quick. When the game looked like it was no longer winnable, Rodgers came out of that game, which I don't have a problem with that. Rodgers is your best chance of getting into the postseason. Pull him, start your Jets, start Lazard, start Wilson, start Hall. Titan side of the ball, I can't tell you. I can't tell you. The Jets have a good defense. I'd stay away from starting your Titans this week. Buccaneers Lions. Baker Mayfield had a hell of a performance week one. The Lions will not allow that to happen. Amon-Ra is going to have a bounce back game. Jared Goff is going to get Laporta involved. Gibbs is going to get going this week. Gibbs and Montgomery are going to get going this week. I feel like this is where the Lions put it together, get things rolling. If they don't, I'd be shocked. But I say go with your Lions in this one. Feel comfortable playing your Lions. Obviously, if you have to play Baker, hopefully you didn't have Tua this week. But if you had Tua, go get Baker. I feel like it's going to be a good game. But the Lions players are going to have a good bounce back this week. Raiders Ravens. I talked about that one earlier today. Like I said, I believe it's going to be the Mark Andrews show. Likely he's going to sneak a touchdown in there. I do believe it's the Mark Andrews show. However, it could be the Derrick Henry show. Baltimore said they didn't bring Derrick Henry in to run 30 times, but to take advantage of those 15 carries he gets. Derrick Henry could pop off for some pretty large runs. That's still Lamar's offense, but Derrick Henry could show up this week. But if it's me, I'm not starting Henry just because, you know, I feel like he's gonna take a little bit more time to get acclimated. Whereas Andrews has always been the security blanket in that offense, likely starting to show some moves. Zay Flowers was picking up targets. You can't go wrong starting Zay Flowers in that game. Brock Bowers on the Raiders side, I believe, go ahead and start him. Baltimore showed that they're pretty soft with the crossers, and I feel like the Raiders will take advantage of that with Minshew, and Brock Bowers is going to be that guy. Davante Adams is going to sneak in there as well, but I feel like Brock Bowers is going to be the guy they're going to try and force feed the ball to. I believe he had 9 targets last week, so they're going to get Brock Bowers involved. Don't hesitate starting him. Adams is probably going to be lined up with Humphrey for a lot of the game. Both of those guys are guys kind of on the back end of their career. And with Minshew at the quarterback, Minshew can throw, but he's not targeting Devontae. He's just not going to. He doesn't have that confidence. Rams Cardinals. I'm good with starting Stafford. That tight end, I believe his name is Parkinson. He looked decent while they're waiting for Higbee to come back. I took a look at him at waivers this week too. I'm still waiting to see what the Rams are going to look like. We saw a good dosage of. I think we saw a pretty good mix on offense with them. Kyron Williams. You know, I think a lot of people are shocked that Blake Corum got. He didn't get a single look with as much value as they put into Corum. He did not get a single look. That's a little concerning. But we'll see what's going on from there. Cardinal side of the ball. Marvin Harrison dud last week. It looks like based off of what we've heard coming out of the Arizona camp, the chemistry isn't there yet between Harrison and Murray. So Harrison's going to be sitting on the bench for a while. He's going to be a great wide receiver. Do not start him. My belief, don't start him. If you start him, they're going to force feed him, and LA is going to be ready for that because the chemistry is just not there from what I can see in the communication on what's coming out of that camp. Bengals Chiefs. Do we see a bounce back from the Bengals? Everybody's been talking. Joe Burrow is the only one that can stand up to the KC Chiefs. Well, now it's time to put up or shut up, and you ain't got T. Higgins to do it. You targeted Ja'Marr Chase six times last week, but it was a lot of the short game. Kansas City's going to give up that short game, but I can promise you that you ain't getting first downs off the short game. Moss looked good on the runs. However, this is Kansas City. They stuffed Derrick Henry. Then again, Baltimore's offensive line was not the best last week, but the Cincinnati's O-line is in the same boat. So you have to start Chase just because if anybody's going to get targeted in that offense, it's going to be Chase. They also got their tight end. I believe it's Hurst in that offense. Let's see what they get going. KC's defense is not going to make it easy for them. You know that you saw them take away Mark Andrews last week. They're going to take Chase away. They're going to look at that offense and say, okay, this is what they have taken away. Andy Reid, Spags, that defense is known for making plays the last couple of years. And Cincinnati, this might not be pretty for you. In terms of the Kansas City Chiefs side, you got to put Worthy out there. Hollywood Brown was just put on IR today to have surgery. Pacheco is obviously a guaranteed start every week. I think Xavier Worthy is going to have another great game. They scheme him open. I still can't believe they allowed that to happen, but that's what happened. Steelers Broncos, not really. I don't really see any starters in that game. You start your kicker. Start Boswell. Bears Texans, start your CJ should be your starting quarterback for that game. I would start Diggs. This is going to be a game where Chicago's got to show us on defense what they can do. And if it does turn into a defensive performance for the ages for Chicago, Diggs is going to be the one that's going to make some plays to get that offense going. I do not see Joe Mixon having a 30 carry game. Me and my buddy were talking about this. He's 28 years old. He had 30 carries. He iced up after that game, and Chicago's there's some hitters. I don't see that turning into the kind of game that we want it to be. So in terms of the Chicago side, don't start anybody. Do not start anybody. Caleb Williams, the talk of the town, 93 yards last week. Looked every bit of a rookie that we expected him to be, and honestly, for the hype that built around him, I was a little disappointed. I'm sure a lot of people were. Falcons Eagles, I touched on that one earlier. Kirk Cousins, you got to bounce back. Need you to show us that there's some value in Drake London. I know a lot of guys put him in their lineup last week, and he dropped a doodle. You dropped a goose egg on us. So, Kirk Cousins, we got to see a bounce back. I think the Falcons have the pieces on offense to really take it to Philly. You got to utilize them. So that's going to be a good game. Obviously, start your Eagles, start Saquon, start Hurts, start A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown was quiet last week, but this could be a game where we start hearing some noise made. So start Brown. And with that being said, that is our week 2 wrap up. Let's go into Sunday and see how things play out. Good luck to all those dynasty players for week 2 out there. We'll wrap it up after the Monday night games. The next episode will release on Tuesday. Thank you again for downloading the DynaPros Fantasy Football Ads podcast. Shout out to the distinguished DGens. If you're looking for a good podcast to listen to for your bets, those guys over there have won a ton of money. They've been doing it for years. They have their own they have their own company for gambling, and they're putting advice out there every week on what, which lines to take. And I've taken a couple of their lines and won some money off of them. So go check those guys out, Distinguished Degens, and they are streaming on Spotify. Thank you again for the download. Have a hell of a week, Jen.
Music licensing reimagined. On to the next one. On to the next one.